to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, tune in to the Cleveland Browns Preview Show with host Ken Carmen and Gerard Jerry tomorrow at 7 p.m. right here on ESPN 850 and 92.3 The Fan. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm back in the Dog Bowl and Bray. We'll go to the phone lines here on this Grade Day Tuesday. We'll start with Jonathan in Orlando. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
I was in San Diego, and I give my grades. I'll say the offense played really, really well in San Diego for the first four games. I think, you know, they're starting to find their rhythm a little bit. They had, obviously, a couple injuries with McCown and Manziel going back and forth. Defense, so I'll give them right now their C. Defense right now, I don't know what's going on with them, since that's supposed to be the strength of the team. You know, they have a game like Tennessee where they come out and they flash an A, and then everything else so far has been definitely below expectations. So hopefully they can play more like they did in Tennessee. But the big thing I wanted to get to was Pettin kind of bringing up Joe Hayden. I used to play quick corner, Division III. That position, you have to be able to breathe, and you have to use your hands. And if you can't do those things, you're not doing anybody any good. So the fact that Joe Hayden said he couldn't go, you know, I just think Pettin probably could have handled it a different way. This team gets so much scrutiny as it is between the fans, the media. You know, there's so much negativity that happens with this team. I just feel like he didn't have to necessarily go out and say anything in the way that he said it. And I actually kind of lost a little bit of respect for him for handling it the way he handled it. So just kind of want to get your guys' take.
What did you think of what Mike Pettin said about the Joe Hayden thing? So they left it up to Joe Hayden and that he, you know, decided he didn't want to go. That was the direct quote from Mike Pettin yesterday.
Right. And I guess I'm just confused on what you would expect a coach to say.
Well, could he have just said, you know, he wasn't able to go? Joe Hayden had finger injury, tested out, and was unable to go.
Instead of?
Saying Joe Hayden had a finger injury,
and he
tested out and decided he didn't want to go?
Yeah, I guess.
Semantics.
Yeah. In the big scheme of things, I don't care for it, and I wouldn't think that. And I think we as analysts, the media, and fans, we sit and we hang on every word that comes out of some individual's mouths. And then you have to also take into account that the individual who's speaking it, even though they're a paid professional to coach football, not necessarily be a media savant, as you see it with Jim Tomasula out in San Francisco. You can't think through every single word and every single phrase and sentence that you're going to say over the course of a 20-minute press conference and take into account every single person's feelings.
And I think that that's true. And to me, as long as the Joe Hayden situation is okay within the locker room,
which I believe it is,
then it's not an issue. It's a non-story.
We're making it an issue. And in today's world, we read into everything and we try to stir a little pot and create a little bit of friction.
I just want to talk about wins. I don't want to stir any pots.
Dude, when we win, we will come in here and we will punch up phone calls all day.
It'll be glorious.
And you'll not hear us talk.
It'll be fantastic.
It'll be fantastic. It'll be stealing.
Let's go to Washington State now and talk to our guy, Charlie Blue. Long time no talk. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, man.
Yeah, good, good. I'll give you my grades really fast, and then I'll give you a quick take on the offense. As far as grades go through the first quarter, I probably would give, if I had average, I'd give the offense a B-. However, I probably would give them an A over the last six quarters, that being the second half versus Oakland and the last week against the Chargers.
Uh-huh.
The defense, man, I love my Browns, man. But when I look at, you know what, the quarterbacks that they faced and the amount of resources invested into that side of the
ball.
Be
honest now.
How can I not fail them? I mean, that kills me. I love my Browns, dude, but how can I not fail them? We're getting draft picks, free agents, defensive coach. And that's the result, and the salary spent on that unit. It is what it is. And so then I guess my take on the offense is, I know Pettin wanted to do this whole ground and pound thing, you know, where we win games 17-13, you know, and hold the ball for, you know, 40 minutes, you know, and yada, yada. But, I mean, looking at our offensive players and their skill sets, I don't think that's the way to go. I mean, Joe Thomas, Alex Mack, they're good tacticians. You know, they're not road raiders. They're not going to be guys you can just, like, smash the ball up in there and get success. Our playmakers on offense right now are Benjamin, Barnes, Duke Johnson, and Josh McCown. So hopefully I think we can kind of maybe just scrap the whole, you know, ground and pound thing, and let's just spread it out and sling the rock around the field.
I don't necessarily – and I'm sorry to interrupt, and thank you very much for the call. I don't believe this football team can win. I mean, we haven't won week in, week out. I don't think this football team can be as competitive as you would like. And some of the inadequacies of those playmakers and inadequacies of not having a franchise quarterback, whether it's Johnny or Josh, and you have to stay extremely healthy along the offensive line to be able to spread it out, make the right decisions offensively, throwing the ball 65% to 70% of the time.
No, that's not what this team's built
for. That's not what we're built for. And it looks great, and it's nice that we can do that. And now I want. How do you use our ability to spread teams out to an advantage? And I thought we saw that, you know, with the explosion play to Duke Johnson, you know, just lining up in a tight formation, shifting wide, and being able to have your playmakers win. That's what you do. Going up tempo, and I think that's something with you know, the Ravens having an extra couple days to start, you know, putting together a plan for the Cleveland Browns even prior to them playing a football game. We've got to do something to shake things up, both offensively and defensively. And it's nothing wholesale, and it doesn't become a new philosophy. It's just something to change change of pace for us, which then creates an adaptive situation for a defense or offense of having to handle what we're doing. Right now, I don't think teams line up against us and they're scared about who we are or what we do. And no. I think that push and pull of change of pace, you know, going no huddle, so on and so forth, and, you know, different formations, exotic formations, and the shifts and movements that John DeFilippo has put into this offense are great ways for us to dictate to someone else and not them dictate to us.
It all comes back, though, too, and I think what Charlie's getting at is it comes back to this defense's ability to put the offense in advantageous situations and to take care of their business. And when he wants, he's got to fail the defense through four games. This defense was not supposed to be 22nd in the NFL after four games, let alone 32nd.
I would be content simply because through 4 weeks of the football season, I wouldn't mind with as bad as we were against the run, I wouldn't mind being 22nd against the run and having my pass defense being like, you know, 11th, which puts us in about the 14 to 16 range defensively through four football games, and maybe you sit at 2-2 with your defense playing better football, right?
And that's where you certainly would want to be. 216-578-0850. This seems very close to being 2-2. They easily could be 2-2, but they hear they sit at 1-3, and it's about being able to get the job done at the time when it comes to it. And defensively, you know, that's where all the anger is focused right now. This is a group that is beaten up. You know, you didn't have Dez Bryant. You didn't have Joe Hayden. You didn't have Craig Robertson. You didn't K-1. Have K-1. You didn't have Tashaun Gibson by the end of the game. But all the depth and people excited about the depth of this defense, and yet it hasn't necessarily been able to show through despite what I think would be strong performances. I really think ultimately this defense is going to succeed or fail based on their ability to win at the line of scrimmage, and a lot of resources were invested in their ability to win line of scrimmage, and that's what they're not doing.
Right.
They're not getting to the quarterback. They're not winning the one-on-ones, as you talked about, on the edge. They're not winning the one-on-ones in the middle. They're not winning the one-on-ones in the run defense, and they're certainly not winning it in the pass defense.
No. And in a best-case scenario, all you want to do is play complementary football because the back end played so well last year, and the up front let you down consistently, right? And so we would have thought, as you mentioned, with all the resources going to the front side, that if they just play good, that allows the good play on the back end to become great. You know,
yes.
We expected to see covered sacks, you know, with guys getting there. We can't get home. We can't get home up front. And a quarterback's calling out what's coming. That's not good through 4 weeks. Because if they know after 4 weeks, do you think the rest of the AFC West and the rest of the division knows what's going to be coming for the remaining 12 football games?
Well, I think teams probably want the Browns to try to blitz them right now.
Yeah.
Come on. It gets us in better situations. It's easier to diagnose
it's
your coverages.
It's
pitch and catch. I wonder if you're going to see, I know they said no major overhauls, but I wonder if you're going to see, and the tough part about it is this scheme is very much a man scheme. If you're going to see more zone and try to play coverage and let guys get home with time.
There are techniques from zone coverage to man coverage that cross over, that can look and feel a lot like man, but you're actually playing. Quarters is a coverage. Quarters is a matchup coverage. That's what it is. It's corners on a corners outside on a receiver. Safeties obviously deep in their quarters, but those inside three guys, whether it's, you know, the Sam linebacker and the Mike and the Will inside, or the rush linebacker, you know, not rushing and being, it's you matching up on two backs and a tight end, two tight ends and a back, you know, or you come in and or Kwan comes in the game as a nickel, and it's the nickel, the Mike and the Will. It's basketball. That's all it is. But you're not chasing people. You're not turning your back to the quarterback. You're working collectively as a team. And now that, in some cases, to do that in a week's time in prep
is tougher.
Is very tough. In game planning is very tough.
Yeah, because it's a lot of communications,
yes.
A lot of things
and new.
That they
it's
haven't
new.
Been able to do.
Right.
Yes. They got to find some answers. Let's go to Dave and Avon Lake now. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, bro.
Good. Listening to what's going on, I don't disagree that, you know, majority of the talk should be about the defense, because that's flat out the reason why we lost the game. I think that's going to improve. I think it's just a matter of continuity. I mean, you got pieces that just keep moving around, and I know we have our a core of guys there, but I think continuity is going to serve this team pretty good, and I think we'll see that improve over the rest of the season here. But the last, I don't know if it's the last call or the one before, is on to something as far as the offense. Again, not blaming the offense for this last game, but when you look at, like, it's already been stated a bunch of times, like, Joe Thomas, elite lineman, but his strengths for this team are in pass rush, not run pass, or not run blocking.
Correct.
You got a bunch of guys out there that are 5'8", 5'7", and, you know, they need time to get to their route. They need time. They need the plays to be extended. Now we come back to this whole thing with John, and I'm not a John supporter, but the one positive thing that he does, he gives that group of wide receivers enough time to do what they need to do to get open, because it's not like if we want to be a run team, you need at least one, maybe two guys. You know, you need some height out there to be a possession receiver to make that quick catch. That's going to kind of play into what they, I think they're saying they want to do. But with what we have on offense right now, with what we're trying to go out and win with,
it is tough. And I think in some ways you could look at the personnel and say, you know, this team is maybe built to kind of play spread the guys out. You have your small, quick receivers. You've got a pass blocking oriented offensive line, and go ahead and toss football around the yard, which is what they did.
Right.
In essence, against San Diego, played three receivers pretty much the majority of the game. They ran out of three receivers more, and maybe that's what they're going to have to do going forward.
And that's today's NFL. I don't have a problem with it, but the one thing that we can't be is wishy-washy. You know, and I continue to say it, you know, good at everything, great at nothing. Let's be great at something. If we're going to be good at spreading it out, let's spread it out. Three-step drops, you know, a lot of high-low routes, combination routes, little cluster routes, getting guys the football in space. Because if you look at the San Diego Chargers, the two passes that went for the long gains, what, 62 and, oh, I don't even know, it was 68?
Yep.
Where the ball was in the air for no more than 10 yards.
Yeah, they were both quick little passes. Right. One to Danny Woodhead, one to Dontrell Inman,
right,
on a crossing route. Let's go to John and Avon Lake now. John, welcome to the show.
How are you guys doing?
Good. We're good, man. How are you?
All right, I'm all right. Now, first of all, the knock on you, Nathan, last year was that you were, when the Browns would play like crap, you would never speak your true mind. And Matt, I know you're not scared to, and Nathan, you've improved at that a lot.
Thank you.
I got two questions. The first one is, how long until you guys start singling out individuals? Us fans take these games serious. Maybe we shouldn't. All right, when are you guys going to start singling out individuals for their poor performance? And last week I called in about Randy Starks. All right, Matt tried to give him some positive and said he has a couple quarterback pressures or something ridiculous. All right, once again, nothing from our high-priced free agent on the defensive line, but Ruben had a good game yesterday. And then Dwayne Bowe's comments, please, about how he's going to show up.
Well,
that That to me
I'll
is.
I'll say this. I don't think it's productive necessarily.
That's laughable.
I don't think it's productive for us necessarily to call out individual players. We're going to hand out the grades, and you know, you go through that and you can infer from that what you will. But that's not the point, at least of this program. There are plenty of programs if you want to hear individual players
right.
called out. We're not going to attempt to do that. In general, we're going to try to bring you what we understand is going on. Our assessment of it is, you know, somebody for me who watches a ton of football, understands the game very well, watches the coach's tape, et cetera. And then
and
with a guy who
has played the game yeah.
for 8 years in the National Football League at a very high level.
Right. And but believe me, and you put it very well, we cannot do this show as fans and be super emotionally high and super emotionally low and want to point a finger at this person and want to point a finger at this person. It's very glaring and apparent if you understand the game of football, who's playing well and who's not. It's the film speaks for itself.
Right.
And that's why the coaches, you know, and I know Rob Chudzinski, former Cleveland Browns coach, it was so cliche. Oh, I got to watch the film before I can say anything. Yep. Well, you get an opportunity with NFL Game Pass or, you know, you can DVR it, TiVo it, whatever. Go back and watch it and understand your Cleveland Browns, and it's very apparent who's playing well and who's not.
It is, and I would say everybody on the defense has to play better.
Yes.
You're last in the league, everybody. Randy Starks, everybody. As far as Dwayne Bowe goes, there's whatever Dwayne Bowe is showing when we're not around is not enough to these coaches to get on the field more than he is. You can't expect anybody in the NFL to be a productive wide receiver playing, what did he play, 8 snaps?
Four snaps?
It just, you can't.
Come
be,
on.
I mean, it doesn't matter.
I'd love to see 4 targets.
Right.
He got 1 target in 4 plays.
Right. So
okay.
He is, I believe that he is supremely confident in his abilities. He's had a very successful NFL career. He was just paid a lot of money by the Cleveland Browns to come play wide receiver. But if he's not on the field, he has as good a chance of catching a ball as I do. Although I almost did make a grab on the sideline of an errant throw from Phillip Rivers in the second quarter of that game.
You dropped it?
No. At one hopped and I ended up, I got it. I've had some good catches on the sideline, hoppers. I haven't had any, nobody's brought it to me through the air yet for the hush down. But maybe it's coming soon. When we come back, because a lot of questions we're getting on Twitter about the scheme. Are we going to see more 4-3 as opposed to 3-4 given we have all these defensive linemen? Mike Penn will answer that and more when we return as we play his press conference from yesterday. Coming up next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.